Well, Matt, you're okay because today is opposite day. The SpongeBob, shout out to SpongeBob. It's an opposite day because I'm here, and tonight Paul is going to be with the youth group. So that's why it's opposite day, so you're stuck with me. My name is Jamie Buchanan. I'm the youth pastor here at Chapel Hill, and it's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to get heckled a little bit, but it's awesome to be with you. This month, our focus is outreach. As we think about the needs of people around us, as we think about people needing the gospel. And the focus this week, and you got, if you got a bulletin, you got an insert, is Treehouse. Treehouse is a great ministry. I've been able to speak there myself a couple of times. One of the parts of Treehouse is right down here at Easter Lutheran. Treehouse exists to unleash hope in teens by empowering Christ-centered leaders to provide grace-based teen mental health support. So a great ministry for us to support and care for. So I hope you can read that and kind of look at that and pray and see how you might be able to help. So I want to start off with our vision, our mission, and our values and how we do them here at Chapel Hill. Our vision is to move this generation from culture to kingdom. Our mission is to guide people into a flourishing, contagious relationship with Jesus Christ. Our values, growing in Christ, living in love, impacting the world. How do we do that? We do that by making disciples who know, love, and follow Jesus as we join him in the redeeming of all things. I share that because today we're going to talk here about God's justice, the justice of God, and how that is redeeming in the world. So let's start with the word redeem. What does it mean to redeem? The fall and the presence of sin explain why the world needs redeeming. Sin fractured God's good creation. Jesus' life and then death on the cross brings restoration and repair to the fracture that sin has caused between us and God and us and others. The result of redemption, which is restoring a right relationship with God, is found in Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." The kingdom of God is God's reign breaking into a fallen world to restore what was lost. Even in our sin, we are being brought back to God through what Jesus has done on the cross. So here's an illustration that I've used with the youth group. So if you've been in youth group, bear with me. It's an illustration of redeeming. My wife picked up some junk off the side of a road one day. She got my daughter to go help her, and she brought this back home. This was something that said free on it. And it was kind of junky and beat up. And brought it home. And what you don't know about my wife, most of you, is that she is super good at refurbishing furniture. And so she brought this home. She worked on it. She worked on it. She put her touch, her gift into it. And this is what it looks like now. Wow. Yeah. It's a beautiful coffee bar. I didn't help with it at all because I am not good at that. And it looks great. You know what? That's a perfect example of what it means to be redeemed. Something that was once garbage, okay, in our sin, that was once broken, that was once not doing what it should be doing, God, Jesus, brings restoration and makes all things new. So there's the word redeem. What about justice? The title is Justice That Redeems. Now, most of you know that I'm a superhero person, and so I so badly want to just go off on an illustration on the Justice League. You know, Superman, Batman, they're DC comics, not Marvel. Wonder Woman. Even two of my favorite superheroes, Plastic Man and Metamorpho, which are actually fit with our verse, our theme verse that we have for youth group. Oh, man, I'm going too far here. So seriously, let's look at the word justice. There are the word justice, and we want to look at two forms of it. Social justice, God's justice. What is justice? In its simplest form, it means to set things right. We could easily ask questions from this definition like, how do we know what's right? Who defines right? Is it society at large? Is it culture? Is there a moral law that we inherently know? Okay, what is social justice? It would be easy here for me to go and to address this because it can be a very politically charged theme. So I'm going to tread lightly, but I looked up some definitions. I've talked to some people. It's a common term that is used today. Definitions vary. One definition is promoting a just society by challenging injustice and valuing diversity. Another defines social justice as the principle that all people deserve equal rights, opportunities, and treatment within society. It focuses on fairness in how resources, responsibilities, and privileges are distributed, especially concerning vulnerable and marginalized groups. So that's a little bit. We could go on for a lot defining that, but now let's look at God's justice. It has two facets. One is a justice of retribution, of punishing evil. The other is a reparative justice, restoring the wrong. We are looking at the reparative aspect of justice, or the redeeming aspect. So what is the redeeming justice of God? We first have to understand that justice is the foundation of God's throne. So look at these two scripture passages. One of them is Psalms 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Also, Deuteronomy 32:4. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. Justice is one of God's attributes. We see through these verses that in his nature, where justice, it's in his nature, justice is rooted. Justice means God always acts in line with his holiness, rewarding righteousness, defending what is right. Justice and righteousness go hand in hand. God's justice shows all humans are equal before God and have a right to be treated with dignity and fairness, no matter who they are. Justice was the motivation for our redemptive process. The redemptive story is a story of God coming down to bring justice for the unjust, so that he might bring us back to himself. Remember that God's redeeming justice is in the fact that he created us in his own image. It's that image that gives us the dignity and importance of humanity. The whole redemptive process and purpose of justice go together. The story of a little boy and his ship is a good analogy. The boy had made a toy ship, which he lost. He later found that ship in a toy store. After seeing how much it cost, he went home, got the money, bought the ship back. He said, "Now you belong to me. You belong to me because I made you. You belong to me because I bought you back. God made us. We sinned. Then, through Jesus' death on the cross, he purchased us, and now we belong to him again. So justice is inherent in his creation of us. Social justice compared to God's justice. Both care for the poor, the marginalized, and the oppressed. Both oppose exploitation and unfair treatment. Both can drive action toward a more equitable society. God's justice starts with his authority. Social justice can start with human consensus. God's justice addresses sin. Social justice tends to address systems. God's justice leads to biblical restoration. Social justice aims for fairness. If justice is defined outside of God's truth, morality can be redefined apart from God's standard. God's justice is about how people treat each other in daily life. We need a right relationship with God, which is, in fact, righteousness, and a right relationship with others, which includes equality and care. It's love God, love others, the great commandment. So, look at this phrase. Think about that a moment. We can miss God by missing people. What do you think that means? We can miss God by missing people. Sometimes we are so caught up in and tend to be in our everyday routine. The routine of church, the routine of worship, the routine of our daily devotions or things. We can get so caught up in doing things for God that we are missing the people around us that need God. And Jesus mentions this in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, as he's getting after these religious leaders. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin. I don't know what cumin is, but it must be a spice. You tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting others. So in a sense, he's saying you keep doing those things. Tithing is important, but don't neglect others. So we also need the right relationship with others, which means treating others according to God's standards of love, truth, and fairness. It means protecting the vulnerable, the orphans, widows, strangers, the poor, refusing oppression, and practicing honesty. So the key verse for this is a very popular one on justice. It's Micah 6:8. One title that I found was, you know, we have the Great Commission, which is making disciples, and the Great Commandment, which is loving God and loving others. One person entitled this the Great Requirement. Okay? It says this. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, as we look at this, and as we look at the next passage, the writers here were God was kind of speaking to the prophets. They were writing, and they were saying, it's not about sacrifice. It's not all about rituals. It's not all about going through the motions. It's not all about what I call doing church. It's not about that. It's about acting justly, loving mercy. How does that come? It comes from us walking humbly with God. The next passage, which actually shares, well, who are we supposed to act justly towards? Who are we supposed to love and show mercy? It's Zechariah 7, 9 and 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against another in your heart. Another passage that really brings us home that I like, and there were many. As you go through scripture, you can see there's a lot about God's justice. Is actually Psalms 82, verses 3 and 4. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We've got to understand the importance of humanity and the biblical idea of the second part of the Great Commandment, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Justice is caring for humanity as we care for ourselves. We must use this love to uphold humans' dignity, people's value, people's worth in Christ that stems from all of us being created in the image of God. Anything that uses pride, greed, or selfishness to crush that inherent dignity, value, or worth of humanity is sin and oppression. We can oppress people for our own selfish interests. We have to see oppressed people as created in the image of God. We have to see their needs and understand how and why they are being neglected. In the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest and the Levite are the ones who ought to have had compassion. But their own self-interest was more important than the broken man. The Good Samaritan sees the situation and is moved with compassion and takes care of the person. The solution is to come alongside of someone and nurture that person in love. That's the key. But that is hard. As we look around and we see people in need, that is hard. When we say we are talking about a social good, a redemptive good, it is counter to what our culture says. It's that part of culture that says we are supposed to be self-focused, look out for number one, but we also have to ask over and above this, am I going to serve myself or God? I think sometimes we can get caught up so much in doing church that we're too busy. We're too busy to see our neighbors, to see people in need. We're too busy to reach out and care for them and meet a need. We need to set a new model. We need to set a model as Jesus set of being others focused. We need to see this in sacrifice of Jesus, his love for us, the extremity of his love for us and his death on the cross. That's a miracle story. It's a miracle power within that story that transforms us. We have to show people that God is an endless well of love for his creation. All right, show of hands. How many of you, when you were a child, you heard this? If you keep crossing your eyes, they're going to stick that way. Okay. I heard that often because I like to cross my eyes, even though it hurt a little bit. We've all heard that, and it's a funny thing that goes. But I'm telling you right now, we need to be cross-eyed. And I don't mean this way. I mean that way. Okay? We need to see people in need through the lenses of the cross, through what Jesus has done. When we do that, We will see the oppressed, the poor, the needy, and we will not only see them, but we will reach out to them as Jesus did. John in his gospel makes it known, by this all men will know that you are my disciples because you the love you have for each other. We love him because he first loved us. We see real love in Jesus. If we've been redeemed, it is our responsibility to love God and love others as we love ourselves. If we see others destitute of daily food and don't give them those things that are needed for the body, how does the love of God dwell in us? Sometimes churches can be on a spectrum. One way is a church that they're constantly doing missions trips. They're doing all these service projects. They give so much to ministries around them. They do all of that, and they never share why. And they never use that as to build relationships to be able to talk about what Jesus has done in their life. The gospel isn't a part of that good work that they're doing. That's one side. There's also another side. That side is, well, people need to hear about Jesus before we give them food. People need to hear the gospel before we meet a need. So easily, it's easy for this side to live out James 2, 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? It's kind of like saying, God bless you. I hope that your day's better. There's a quote by a guy who I don't know much about, but I found this quote. St. Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use your words. It's something that has hit me. The words of Jesus, the red letters, are life-changing. Yes, we need to speak them. We need to share them. Our redemption is bringing us back to serve God. He created us to be workers, and redemption is to work together with God, to partner with him, to join him. The redemptive story was to redeem us, to do good works. Part of those good works is working to redeem those who are in need. So here are some practical ways that I have seen Chapel Hill Church show God's justice. I've seen it in the lawn raking that we have done for the elderly through the parks. We have a great story of a testimony with one of the older gentlemen that lives like three blocks from here. Moved to tears because a few of us came and raked his lawn. I've seen it in the community that's been found in Adventure Game Community. People coming here, playing a game, but saying, I've not found this community since I've moved to this region. I love this community. And they're not even followers of Jesus. And also one guy coming and saying, I've been depressed and in bed for months. And my wife is saying, hey, I found this place at a church. They're playing games. Come on out. You should go try it. And so I came here, and I love this community. And he's coming back regularly. Happy Church. We have Pastor Mike coming next week. We go. We serve. We come alongside of them so that they can reach very poor families in their neighborhood. So, in Treehouse now that we have a way to give to Treehouse, we have a way of showing God's justice there. But I want us to think as I close here, I really want us to ask God, who is it around me, around us? God, is there somebody around us that we could show God's justice to, that we could give to, that we could come alongside? I want us to think about that. God is going to ask us at the end of this age. He's going to say, did we feed the hungry? Did we clothe the naked? Did we stand up for the oppressed, the marginalized, those that are different? Did we care for orphans and widows? Did we acknowledge and love the lonely? These are questions we have to ask ourselves continuously. I have to ask myself that. And so I'd like to pray. I'd like to pray for us. So would you pray with me? So God, forgive us for being so caught up in doing church that we have forgot, left out, have not seen the poor, the hungry, the oppressed, the lonely people around us. Will you instill in us, even now, today, as we finish and sing, later on today, this week, will you show us somebody around us that we maybe haven't seen, and how we can come alongside them and show them your redeeming justice. So I pray for that, for myself, for all of us as a church. In Jesus' name, amen.